And he said, So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, the seed should spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Thank you for joining us for another presentation of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. You're welcome to join us each Sabbath morning for Bible study and worship. Our Bible study begins at about 9:30 and worship following at about 11. If you'd like to obtain your own free copy of these audio presentations on CD, just write to us with your request. Get some paper and a pencil handy. I'll be giving you that address in just a few minutes. We've just read from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 to 29. Just a few verses before, the parable of the sower excited much questioning. Some of those, hearing the words of Christ, gathered from it that he was not to establish an earthly kingdom, and many were curious and perplexed. Seeing their perplexity, Christ used other illustrations, still seeking to turn their thoughts from the hope of a worldly kingdom to the work of God's grace in the soul. The husbandman, who putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come, can be no other than Christ. It is he who at the last great day will reap the harvest of the earth. But the sower of the seed represents those who labor here, today, in Christ's name. The seed is said to spring and grow up, but the sower does not know how this happens. This is not true of the Son of God. Christ does not sleep over his charge, but watches it day and night. He is not ignorant of how the seed grows. The parable of the seed reveals that God is at work in nature. The pagan pantheist tells us that God is nature. You have no doubt heard it said that we must save Mother Earth, and Earth is always spelled with a capital letter E. There are people who believe that our planet Earth is God, and that God is the Earth. They worship the Earth and the things of this Earth. The trees, the rocks, the water, the wind. This is popular in our postmodern pagan culture. That thought is seen everywhere, but friends, God is not nature. There's another group who tell us that God is in nature. But he is not in nature, as the panentheist will say, and yet he does work there. He is outside of nature and above nature, for he is the creator of all nature. God is at work in nature. The seed has in itself a germinating principle, a principle that God himself has implanted, yet if left to itself, the seed would have no power to spring up. Man has his part to act in promoting the growth of the grain. He must prepare and enrich the soil and cast in the seed. He must till the fields, but there is a point beyond which he can accomplish nothing. No strength or wisdom of man can bring forth from the seed the living plant. Man may put forth his best efforts to the utmost limit, yet he must still depend upon the one who has connected the sowing and the reaping by wonderful links of his own omnipotent power. There is life in the seed, there is power in the soil, but unless an infinite power is exercised day and night, the seed will yield no returns. The showers of rain must be sent to give moisture to the thirsty fields. The sun must impart heat. The life which the Creator has implanted, He alone can call forth. Every seed grows, every plant develops, but only by the power of God. In Isaiah 61:11 we read, As the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. As it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual sowing. The teacher of truth must seek to prepare the soil of the heart. He must sow the seed. But the power that alone can produce life is from God. There is a point beyond which human effort is in vain. While we are to preach the word, we cannot impart the power that will bring life to the searching one and cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. In the preaching of the word, there must be the working of an agency beyond any human power. Only through the divine Holy Spirit will the word be living and powerful to renew the soul unto eternal life. This is what Christ tried to impress upon his disciples. He taught that it was nothing they possessed in themselves which would give success to their labors, but that it is the miracle-working power of God which causes his own word to work. The work of the sower is a work of faith. The mystery of the germination and growth of the seed he cannot understand, but he has confidence in the power of God that causes all things in nature to grow and to flourish. In casting his seed into the ground, the sower is apparently throwing away the precious grain that might furnish bread for his family, but he is only giving up a present good for a larger return. He casts the seed away, expecting to gather it manyfold in an abundant harvest. In the same way, Christ's servants are to labor, expecting a harvest from the seed they sow. The good seed may for a time lie unnoticed in a cold, selfish, worldly heart, giving no evidence that it has taken root. But afterward, as the Spirit of God breathes on the soul, the hidden seed springs up, and at last bears fruit to the glory of God. In our life work, we do not know which seed sown will prosper, this one or that. This is not a question for us to settle. We are simply to do our work and leave the results with God. In Ecclesiastes 11:6, Solomon, in his wisdom, tells us, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand." God's great promise found in Genesis 8:22 declares that, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest shall not cease." In the confidence of this promise, the husbandman tills and sows. With confidence, we are to sow in spiritual labor, trusting his assurance, for we read in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And in Psalm 126:6, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." The germination of the seed represents the beginning of spiritual life and the development of the plant in a beautiful figure of Christian growth. As in nature, so in grace. There can be no life without growth. The plant must either grow or it will die. As its growth is silent and imperceptible, but continuous, so is the development of the Christian life. At every stage of development, our life may be perfect, yet if God's purpose for us is fulfilled, there will be continual advancement. Perfect faith at one stage of your life does not mean that there is no more work for the Holy Spirit to accomplish in you. Sanctification is the work of a lifetime. The Holy Spirit continually draws each and every one of us. When there is sin in our lives, and there is in each of us, he calls us to repentance every day, day by day. As our opportunities multiply, our experience will enlarge, and our knowledge of God will increase. With that increased knowledge, our lives will also change accordingly. We will begin to appreciate and to see our responsibility to God. We will become strong to bear that responsibility, and our maturity will be in proportion to our privileges. The plant grows by receiving that which God has freely given to sustain its life. It sends down its roots into the earth. It drinks in the sunshine, the dew, and the rain. It receives the life-giving air, but it doesn't only take, take, take. The plant absorbs carbon dioxide and gives up oxygen. In the same way, the Christian is to grow by cooperating with God. It is only when we feel our helplessness that we are able to improve all the opportunities granted us to gain a fuller experience. In a similar manner as the plant takes root in the soil, so we are to take deep root in Christ. Just as the plant receives the sunshine, the dew, and the rain, we are to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit. The work is not to be done by your own might or power, but by the Spirit of God. You can read about that in Zechariah 4:6. If we keep our minds and thoughts fixed upon Christ, He will come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. As the Son of Righteousness, He will arise upon us with healing in His wings. We will grow as the lily. We will revive as the corn and grow as the vine. By constantly relying upon Christ as our personal Savior, we will grow up in Him in all things who is our head. The wheat develops, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. The object of the husbandman in the sowing of the seed and the culture of the growing plant is the production of grain. He desires bread for the hungry who are with us today, and seed for future harvests. Just so, the divine husbandman looks for a harvest as the reward of his labor and sacrifice. Christ is seeking to reproduce himself in the hearts of men, and he does this through those who believe in him. The object of the Christian life is fruit-bearing, the reproduction of Christ's character in the believer, so that it may be reproduced in others. The plant does not germinate, grow, or bring forth fruit for itself, but to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In like manner, no man is to live unto himself. The Christian is in the world as a representative of Christ for the salvation of others. There can be no growth or fruitfulness in the life that is centered in self. If you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you are to forget yourself and try to help others. Talk of the love of Christ. Tell of His goodness. Do every duty that presents itself. Carry the burden of souls upon your heart, and by every means in your power, seek to save the lost. As you receive the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of unselfish love and labor for others, you will grow and bring forth fruit. The graces of the Holy Spirit will ripen in your character. Your faith will increase. Your convictions will deepen. Your love of God and man will be made perfect. More and more, you will reflect the likeness of Christ in all that is pure, noble, and lovely. We read in Galatians 5:22 and 23 that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. This fruit can never perish, but will produce after its kind a harvest unto eternal life. When the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Christ is waiting with longing desire for the manifestation of himself in his church. When the character of Christ shall be perfectly reproduced in his people, then he will come to claim them as his own. Do you have that paper and pencil handy? To get your free copy of this message on CD, write this address down. Gospel Herald, P.O. Box 159, Gordonsville, Tennessee, 38563. Again, that address is Gospel Herald, Post Office Box 159, Gordonsville, Tennessee, 38563. It is the privilege of every Christian not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. If everyone who professed the name of Jesus actually bore fruit to his glory, how quickly the whole world would be sown with the seed of the gospel. Quickly the last great harvest would be ripened, and Christ would come to gather the precious grain.